Amen. No matter what happens in life, no matter where we go, God promises that he will never fail. Amen?
Amen.
Well, again, we welcome you to Crossroad. We are grateful that the Lord has blessed us to gather for worship today. We welcome those that are joining online. We trust that these services will be a blessing to you. I'm trying to get my words out straight. Amen. And as you know, we've been collecting for Gleaning for the World, helping the hurricane victims. I went online this morning and gave a contribution. Some of you may choose to give a contribution. Some of you may choose to give other items, such as food items, shelter items, personal care items, anything that you would need as a family. Those families that have been impacted by the hurricanes, they would need that. So do what you can and ask the Lord to bless you in that endeavor. Amen?
Amen.
Let's give our youth another hand. Amen. And just as an FYI, to next Sunday, I will be at the guest at the Bannister Hill Baptist Church in Halifax. I think the service is at 2 p.m. Those of you that would like to travel along with us, we certainly would appreciate your encouragement. And if you can't make it, pray for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You probably also saw the announcement where Campbell County Registrar's Office is asking if there are any interested in helping to work at the polls. I asked Daryl Rucker. He said, nope, I'm not looking for a job. So Daryl is out. Some of you others may, you may say, well, yeah, I think I'll check it out. So do contact the Campbell County Registrar's Office. And again, pray for the people that have been impacted by tragedies and things that are happening in our world, because they need your help, but they also need God's grace. God's grace. We learn that God's grace is sufficient to meet every need. Amen?
Amen?
I want to invite your attention again today as we look at a passage of Scripture. We've been talking about some of the threats that you and I will be facing as we look at the end of times and as we look at the events that are taking place in the world. And many of you are asking, well, what can we do? And the Lord was reminding me this morning, it wouldn't do you much good to know about the end time if you're not prepared to face it. You've got to be prepared, and you've got to have that spiritual strength. Notice I said spiritual strength. You've got to get that from one source and one source only, and that is God Almighty. You and I cannot make up. We cannot develop some type of frame of mind to help us face what's coming in the future without God leading us. And so for that reason, you and I have to seek God. We have to know what are the threats, what are the things that you and I need to do, and then to prepare ourselves by looking to God's word and praying that he'd make us strong in him and in the power of his might. So for the next few minutes, I just wanted to share a little bit about that as we look at a passage of Scripture found in the Old Testament. In the book of Psalms, this is a Psalm of David, one that he wrote. And we might ask the question as we prepare to listen to that Psalm, what was he going through? What was he facing in his life that he came to this conclusion? Notice what it says. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And looking down at verse 5, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And the verse goes on to say, my head shall be lifted up above my enemies. I want to talk a little bit about this subject, overcoming fear. Overcoming fear. Overcoming fear. You may be seated. My, it's good to see all y'all out today. Amen. Praise God. We are thankful for that. Father, we thank you again for your mercy and your grace. We pray you bless us now as we share your word. Help us to bring out the things that you prepared me for in study. May I bring it forth with power. And Lord, most of all, may it come from you. And may it bless the hearts of these, your people. As always, Lord, I pray that you change us by what we hear. And Lord, may we be changed for the good. We humbly ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Last evening, we had the wonderful opportunity of sharing with the Pink Witnesses in their annual banquet. And what a joy it was to celebrate life. Celebrate life. And we appreciate all of those that supported in that effort. And as we think about life itself, there are things that will happen to you and me that will present a threat. They're going to be a threat. To be fearful is one thing. To be afraid is another. When you're afraid, that's an alert system on the inside of you that says, you are in danger. Take action. When you are fearful, you're now in a state of where you're constantly having to deal with the things that you're facing, and you're wondering if I'm going to make it. It develops into what we call a sense of hopelessness. One thing to be fearful, another thing to be afraid. When I'm afraid, I take action. And what David the psalmist was said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? He took action. He found that in God was a place of refuge. In God, you could literally hide from the trouble. Why? Because God will protect you from the danger that's all around you. The end times is going to be filled with some things that you and I may have to face. We know that the rapture of the church is coming, but we don't know when. But what if God should decide to bring us through some of these events? Are you prepared in your heart and in your mind to face some of these tragedies that will be coming upon the world? Last Sunday, we're just going to refresh these. We gave you 10 threats that will be facing God's church. Because when it talks about the judgment of God and the end of time, judgment begins where? In the house of God. Judgment begins with the people that say they know God. God said, okay, if you know me, then I'm going to test you. I'm going to see whether you know me. Now, God by no means causes evil, but he allows it. Let me repeat that so you don't get it twisted. God does not cause evil. He is not the author of evil and of all of the wrong that we see in our world, but he allows it. Show of hands, how many of you have faced some things in your life? Faced some evil that you've had to deal with? Yes. You knew you had to take action. So you've got to be aware of these threats. Otherwise, with more intensity, these things are going to happen in the end of time. What are they? Very quickly, deception. We dealt with that on last week, deception. And now we have fear. Fear is going to be something we'll be talking about today and how you can respond to it. Another thing that we'll be talking about later on is hopelessness. People are just saying, there's no hope. We'll deal with that later on. Restlessness. Restlessness. As they say, you got ants in your pants. You deal with lack of compassion. People will forget how to simply respect and love one another. What was Jesus' command? Love one another. Rage. I'm afraid to wave at people on the highway now. I'm going back down to Scottsburg where we all wave at you. You know, if they give you the one finger wave, that means that they don't know who you are, so they just put up a finger and just say, hey, we see you. And some of y'all don't go there. Rage, wickedness, idolatry, perversion, and selfishness. All of these things will be intensified in the end of time. You as a child of God, you as a Christian, ought to have something on the inside of you that says, I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to ask God to guide me and keep me so that I will be able to live as a witness for him and for his glory. Is that good enough? So let's talk about this thing of fear. Let's talk about this thing of fear. And my first point is, if there are no threats, you have no fear. And if you have no fear, you don't need to have faith. Where some people have the disconnect is that in the threat, they become fearful and they put a period behind it. They get to the place where they don't know how to deal with what they're facing, so they say to themselves, I'm in a state of panic and I'm going to just give up, or I'm going to allow the fear to take over. How many of y'all have ever awakened at night about 2 o'clock in the morning and something dreadful all of a sudden comes across your mind? What do you do in those moments? How do you respond to it? I know a lot of times we face things about our finances, or maybe we're having to deal with the reality of we got a health crisis. Now all of a sudden you're in a painful place. You don't know what the future is going to hold. And so what happens with many people, their hearts become fearful. Maybe you've got a loved one in the hospital and you're thinking about them. Now really, you can think about them, but you can't heal them. And what we're saying is, the same way that David found, watch this, he said, now what I found in my crisis, he learned this, he wasn't born with the innate knowledge of knowing that God was going to be there, but he tested God. He trusted in God that the Lord is my what? Light. When you can't see, when you have no way of knowing, when you're really asking yourself, is there a way to deal with this? God shines a light. As surely as he shined that sun down upon the earth, God shines a light and lets you know it's going to be all right. I've got this. I'm in control of this. You're not, but I am. He said, now I found out that God is my light and what? He is my salvation. Now, we look at the word as someone coming to Christ, but that word salvation is much broader than that. Salvation covers God's complete deliverance. God is the one that's going to bring me out of this. So when I look at that verse and when I think about what David had to go through, if you've read his history in the Old Testament, book of Samuel, you will read about the fact that he faced these dangers. People were out to destroy his life. And he said to himself, I found that in God, I got a hiding place. How many of y'all got a hiding place? When you go to God in prayer, when you start asking God, Lord, show me what I need to do, what you're doing, you're building faith and not fear. As we said on the farm, whatever you plant's going to grow. If you plant weeds, weeds are going to grow. And what happens in the lives of so many people is the weeds of fear will come in and tell you, God's not going to help you. God's not going to bring you through this. Why do you think? And matter of fact, somebody down the road had the same problem you got, and they went down, and you're going to be the same way. Don't listen to fear. Don't let fear dictate to you. You get into this book and say, God, show me what you need me to know. Help me to understand your word, and I believe that you're going to bring me through. Fear, a natural response to something that is happening around you, should drive you to the place where you're saying, I'm going to trust God. It leads to faith. If it doesn't lead to faith, then you got a problem on your hand. We'll talk about that in just a second. All right, so we've got to have these things, or we encounter these things in life, and what it does, it drives you to your knees, so that now while you're on your knees, you can tell God all about it. You can say, Lord, I believe you love me. As a matter of fact, God told us in John 3:16 that he loves everybody. God so loved the world. And it wasn't just for the people of that day, it's for the people of all time. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's how much God loves you. So if nobody else told you, we're going to tell you in church today so you can hear it with your ears. God loves you. Now, if God loves you, love yourself. Amen. Love other people around you. Because there's enough of God's love to embrace us and to help us understand he's got everything under his control. How many of y'all believe that? Amen. What did Jesus say about the end time in regards to our fear? He said there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, the stars, and in the earth, perplexity on the earth, and what else? Men's hearts failing them because of fear. That's how strong it is. Having to deal with this issue of fear. And what's going to make it different in the end time, if you look at things on a bell curve, as you approach the end time, you're going to see things intensify. It's going to become more and more and more. Why are people reacting today the way they are? They're reacting because they're afraid. They don't know what's coming next. Now, here's where the child of God can sit back and relax. God's got everything planned. You run to him in a panic in prayer. Oh, God, guess what happened? Guess what happened? God said, I know what happened. I know what happened. I planned for it to happen. And I planned for you to be right here praying to me to help you. I knew it was going to happen. Why? I got a plan. When you've got a plan for something, you're going to run across things that will happen here and happen there. But when you know that the ultimate plan of God is to redeem and save people, that gives you confidence, even in the midst of the storm. I'll give you an example. I didn't put it in my notes, but I'm going to give you an example. The disciples were with Jesus on the sea, and Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. A storm arose on the sea, and the disciples did what? Got upset. They got afraid. The winds and waves. Now, these were experienced fishermen, but yet they had never encountered a storm like they were facing. All of a sudden, the waves began to toss, and the boat was rocking and reeling, but the boat could not sink. Why? Jesus was on board. He's the master of the sea. And they ran to Jesus, Lord, don't you care that we are perishing? And Jesus asked a simple question, where's your faith? In other words, I'm on board with you. Guess what, child of God? The Lord's in your life. He's not going to let anything happen that's not according to his plan. And in the right time, God will stand up and he'll speak to the wind and the waves that's tossing in your life and say, hush. That's what it literally means. Hush. Be quiet. And the waves calm. Some of you have been there. Some of you have been through a time in your life where God spoke those words to you. You were upset. And all of a sudden, God's peace came over you. That glory of God came upon your life and calmed those fears. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing like it in the world. You know it because nobody brings that type of peace. People might come to you and say, oh, everything's going to be all right. I know what you're going through. One of the worst things you can tell people when they're going through something, I know what you're going through. You don't have a clue. But Christ does. And he doesn't want you to be afraid. And as you see these intensity of things happen in the end time, God doesn't want, oh, what am I going to do? You're going to do the same thing you've been doing. You're going to pray and seek him and glorify God like you've always been doing. When the end times come, guess what? We're going to be in church singing, praising God. Like I say, I don't know when he's going to rapture the church, but if and when he does, I'm going to be singing. I'm going to be rejoicing as I join him on the cloud. And ladies and gentlemen, what I'm telling you is that we win. So why act like a loser and become afraid? As Winston Churchill was saying to England when they were being bombed by the German forces, he said, now, we can decide to give in to these things. But he said, what we must do is let this be our finest hour. Church of God, we got to make this our finest hour. Now, no, FDR, Frank Delano Roosevelt, said we have nothing to fear but fear himself. But I think he was a little bit wrong. We have nothing to fear but God. When you fear God, everything else takes a back seat. And when you fear God, I'm not talking about dreading God. I'm talking about respecting him so much with an awe that you don't worry about anything else. Amen? When God becomes the complete focus of your life, fear automatically takes a back seat. Just like the wind with the disciple, it sits down and it calms itself. It calms itself. And I think some of you have experienced that peace. You know what it's all about because you've been there. Amen? So Jesus said, these days are coming. These are going to be the time that will mark the end times, but don't let your heart be afraid. You keep your trust in me. Jesus also said that when you're facing these times, look up. And what are we looking for? We're looking for his return. Everybody else looking down, oh, woe is me. Hold your head up high. Hold your head up high. I'm going to tell you a little story. When I first started in ministry, I thought within a couple of months I was going to be up there with Billy Graham. You might say I had high hopes. So what I did is I went down to Halifax and rented the Halifax High School and said, we're going to have a crusade. Bill Coleman. And, folks from Spanish Grove came out. Maybe we had 10 other folks that came and said, check it out. And my old principal, if nothing else, I said to my old principal, look at what God can do. I was in his office all the time, and not for good. Matter of fact, last week of school, I got kicked out, smoking in the boys' room. Now, and for him to see me now representing God, he said, I never would have believed it. I said, me too. So anyway, I had this crusade. Nobody came out. Nobody came out. And I was Miss Campbell, I was just let down. I was just let down. And my mother said to me, hold your head up. Amen. And ever since that day, I've held my head up. Amen. Why? God was not finished with me. Amen. So when Jesus said, look up, he says, don't look at the things around you. Don't hold your head down in terror. Don't be looking at the objects or the things that are taking place in this world. Look up. Why? Because your redemption is getting close. Amen. It's getting close to that final hour where we get to meet Jesus and we get to spend eternity in his presence. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the anticipation of the church, not this mess that's going on in the world. We anticipate a great moment, a great time where Christ will reign forevermore. Isn't that cool? So there are a couple of things that we've got to take in mind. We've got to understand what fear does, and we got to prepare ourselves. We got to prepare ourselves because it's going to happen. You will be attacked. The things and the threats of life will attack you at some point or at some time. They will come your way, and if you're not rooted and grounded in Christ, it will knock you off your feet. So what are the three basic things that fear does to us? One, it paralyzes. It paralyzes. Then secondly, it gets us to a place where we're traumatized. In other words, it's not just the initial reaction, but we continue to wear that fear all the rest of our life because of one event that happened back here. Now we're taking that event in life and saying, I can never be anybody, I can never go anywhere because I'm reliving the trauma. I'm going to tell you about that in just a second. But then the third thing that fear can do is make you compromise. Get afraid, change your course. Get afraid, don't do what's right, do what's convenient. I'll tell you about that in just a second. Let's look at the paralysis that happens to people when they're afraid. What happens when people are paralyzed? They're thrown into a state of panic and they freeze. Now, I always wondered why in the world would a deer who's running, stop in the middle of the road and wait on my bumper. My thing, get out of the way. We do the same thing. We have the same reaction when fear comes. We just freeze. And it's as if we are stuck. Can't go forward, can't go backwards, and we don't know what to do. Let me tell you about a nation, the nation of Israel. They had it in the Old Testament, the king by the name of Jehoshaphat. What they had was a situation where all of the other nations had banded together, and they decided, we're going to destroy Judah and Jerusalem. We're going to take them out. We're just going to wipe them off the face of the map. Some of the same things that are happening now. Israel is facing a crisis. And by the way, if you want to know a sign of the end time, keep your eye on Israel. Keep your eye on Israel. That's God's time clock. It's about it in the Bible. Amen? Now, here's the situation that happened then. All of these armies came against them, and according to 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat went into the temple and began to pray to God and say, God, we have no strength. We have no strength against this great company, nor do we know what to do. What had happened? They had gotten afraid. They had gotten afraid, just like many of us we do, when all of a sudden now you got bills to pay, but you have no money in your bank account. You get afraid. I don't know what to do. Well, I'm going to talk to somebody at the bank. Right? Y'all mighty quiet. State of panic. And as that happened to them, the Bible says that one of the prophets named Jehaziel responded by telling Israel, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great company, for the battle is not yours. It is God's. God comes in to save you. Why? Because he is your salvation. He's your light, and he's the one that's going to bring you through. So while fear is trying to push you into paralysis, here's God saying to you, stand still and see my salvation. If you're going to stand still, don't panic. Stand still in the strength that God gives you. What does the Bible tell us? Stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Every time you come to church, and every time you join together with other saints in Christ, you're saying, I'm going to take my stand. I'm not going to give in to the things of this world. I'm not going to give in to the pressures of this life. I'm not going to be like everybody else and just throw up my hands and wonder what to do. I know what I need to do, and I need to have my confidence in God, because he's my light and my salvation. And when you trust in God, you understand that God is not the one who's bringing you to fear. He's not the one that's giving you that fear. All right? What does God give us? Certainly not fear. 2 Timothy says that that didn't come from God. God gives us the spirit of joy. He gives us a spirit of peace and of power and of love and what? Of a sound mind. You ever notice that you get confused when you're afraid? You can't even remember what your name is. Why? Because you're afraid. You are encountering something that now your mental faculties are taken away. But when you know the grace of God, God leads you through that. And notice it's a spirit of fear. It is a spirit of fear. That's the spirit that's gripping the world right now, because people are wondering, what are we going to do? Well, first of all, read all about it. It's right here. Jesus said it was going to happen. And as it begins to unfold, you can say, yep, he's right on time. Nation shall rise against nation. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Where do we get that from? He said it. They're fighting in Ukraine. They're fighting in Lebanon. They're fighting all over the world. They're fighting in Africa. But guess what? You got peace on the inside of you. Because you know your God. Amen. Do not allow these things in this world to terrorize you. Second thing we've got to deal with is we've got to deal with the trauma. And I'm going to be very, very brief about this. Some of you are reliving what happened in the past. Okay? Every time you think about it, all of a sudden, that same picture is almost like a movie that replays in your mind. Oh, God, here we go again. Because you've been traumatized. Let me just give you something right here. If Jesus washed away all your sin, if he forgave you completely, if he wiped the slate clean, who gives you the authority to keep on condemning yourself? Unless you've said to yourself, if I had opportunity, I could go back and maybe I could change things. All right, first of all, Tyrone Davis, you can't turn back the hand. You can't turn back the hands of time. You ain't been saved all your life. Some of the kids, who don't worry, but Google it. Don't keep reliving the trauma. Now what you're doing, you are questioning the grace of God. You are saying, is God able to forgive all my sin? If the Bible said he can do it, stand on that promise. Believe his word. And every time the devil tries to replay that old movie, you said, you know what? I ain't playing it today. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to thank God. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to lift my hands and glorify God because he set me free from all the bondage of my past. When I go back home and people call me Skeeter, I'm going to tell them, you know what? I got a new name. And it's written down in glory. You might remember when, but I'm telling you, I remember the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living because he's my God. Psalms 27:1 says, the Lord is, not was, the Lord is my light, and he is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. He's the one that's right now making you strong. Here's what happens. When those things, those traumatic things begin to replay in your mind, you start quoting God's word, and you start saying to yourself, Lord, I thank you that you're my shepherd. I thank you that you're Almighty God, and to you every knee has to bow and every tongue confess. And watch those memories start dissolving. Because if you do it every time, you know, it's going to start fading away from your mind. Now you're going to remember the goodness of the Lord rather than remembering, I messed up, I failed. Don't keep harping on that. Because God's got a plan for your life. He wants to do more than what you think he does. He wants to take you places that you've never been before. But it's a walk of faith. And you simply got to trust him. Y'all still in the building? Let me hurry up and preach here. Y'all, you know, getting this glaze over your eyes like, okay. You got to trust him. Third thing we have to deal with is compromise. Compromise is now taking you to a place where you're not really paralyzed, you're not traumatized, but now you want to find an option. You want to find an alternative for doing the things that you still want to do. Fear will drive you to the place where you say to yourself, well, let me find something else to do. There have been a lot of people that have given up on their faith. And one of the signs of the end times is that people will abandon their faith in God. They're going to find other stuff. They're going to find religion on the internet. They're going to find what they want to hear from other sources rather than God speaking in your heart. And that's a dangerous place to be. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. The devil came to them and said, hey, I know God said, don't eat of that tree. But you shall not surely die. Isn't that what he said? You're going to be all right. Just go ahead and taste of it. Now, what drove them to the place where they had everything? I'll never understand this. They had everything they needed. They needed nothing. Why? Because they even had God to have fellowship with them every day. What in the world would cause them to say, I'm going to eat anyway? And you know the reason why they wanted to change the thou shalt not? They wanted to change. They wanted some options. And some of you are believing that you got options. Yeah, you got one. You got one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. That's your option. And some of you are old like me, and you come to realize, well, Jesus is just me and you. How many of y'all there? And if God doesn't come through, so when the tempter came to them and said, you can just go ahead and eat. You'll not surely die. And the moment they ate, something on the inside took over. And when God visited them late on that evening, God visited them, guess what their response to God was? They hid themselves. And the Lord said, why did you hide from me? We were afraid. The birth of fear. When you turn your back on God, fear is going to take over. And what I'm telling you today and what I'm encouraging you today is to keep your trust in God. Everything else in this world might fail, but God will never fail you. Can I get a witness? You simply got to trust Him. But on the other hand, there were those who stood in those times. Job, as you recall, faced hardship like no other person. Lost his family, lost all of his possessions, even lost his health. But you know, Job had one thing that brought him through the trial. You know what it was? Patience. Job didn't get that from himself. He got it from those times in prayer. He knew that some way, somehow, God was going to work things out. He even said during his trial, I know that my Redeemer lives. And ladies and gentlemen, as we face these struggles of these times that we're living in, you got to know without a shadow of doubt that your Redeemer lives. And that He will stand in the latter day upon the earth. You got to know that God is a God who doesn't want you to back down, to compromise, to not believe. So what do? Keep looking up. You got to look to the hills from whence cometh your help. He said, in the time of trouble, the Lord will hide me. I've got a hiding place in God. And I know that He's my refuge and my strength. I know He's the one that I can trust in no matter what happens in my life. I want to close by giving you the illustration of what David had to face in his life. Remember the first encounter that he had with something that opposed him was this giant called Goliath. Young people, you all can remember this. David and Goliath, here he is facing this 9-foot-tall individual who was a warrior from his youth. And here's David in his youth, probably about, yeah, tall as me. Okay, I get the picture, okay. But he's having to face this giant. What I'm telling you is that you now have a giant that's facing your life, and it's called fear. Either you're going to stand up to it, or it will destroy you. What happened when David came out to the battlefield? Everybody else in the camp of Israel, when the giant would shout, they would back up. Oh, we can't do that. We can't face that. They would run in fear. They would run in dread. But David came out, and he started asking the question, hey, what? You hear this guy that's talking, and what's going to be done to somebody he wasn't trying to get, amen, to get a reward. What he was saying is anybody here that believes that God can deliver? He was saying, our God is bigger than this giant. He's just 9 feet, but my God is almighty. And you got to understand that. Some of you are facing giants right now in your life. And the giant is telling you, you're going to fail. You're going to fall. But you know what? If you've got the anointing of God in your life, you can say, I may not be that tall, but guess what? I got something on the inside. His power, His grace, His mercy brought me this far. I would have died and should have died a long time ago, but guess what? I'm still standing.
Amen.
I'm still standing because God is real. I'm still standing because I don't allow fear to come in and tell me what my God can do. I know what He can do because it's in the book. And guess what? He signed it with His own blood.
Amen.
Never back down. Never allow the stuff that's going on in the world to get inside your head. I ain't waking up at night worrying about stuff that I can't change. You know what I do? I just put it over there on the prayer request. Oh, yeah, God, you remind me. I need to pray about this. Go on back to sleep. Because if the world is not in God's hand, whose hand is it in? If He can't take care of you, who can, ladies and gentlemen? And I've just been around this planet for 71 years, and I found out that He never failed me yet. And when you really trust Him, you'll learn how to walk with Him. You'll learn how to talk to Him when things begin to go on in your life. You'll learn how to cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. You'll learn how to walk hand in hand with Jesus and know that everything is all right. Storm might be raging around you, but you know what? You can say, Lord, it's in your hand. If I was on that boat with the disciples, you guess what I would have done? I would have crawled up right beside Jesus and said, Lord, you sleep? Lord, if you sleep, I'm asleep. Why? Because I know that everything is in the Lord's hand.
Amen.
Mahalia Jackson sung a song when I was a little boy. And that song was, He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole wide world in His hands. And I can say, Mahalia, you were right.
Amen.
He still has the whole world in His hands.
Yes.
He's got you and me, everybody. Trust Him. He will never let anything take you out of His hands. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for delivering us from fear.